You're listening to the Build Assets Online Podcast. Learn how you can build a diverse and sustainable income online from two brothers who actually do it. Now, here are your hosts, Mike and Joe.
We are live. It's Joe and Mike back at it again. BuildAssetsOnline.com. We are doing a special stream today in celebration of the new Niche Selection Masterclass. Mike, this is a masterclass, but I consider it a masterwork.
Certainly a masterwork. Something like Picasso or
Da Vinci. Rembrandt. Da Vinci. I feel like it's on that level.
We are the Da Vincis of dropshipping at this point. We're the Da Vinci of online assets because Da Vinci was a jack of all trades, as it were. And yeah. We are a jack of all assets.
Absolutely. So we're going to be jacking things up right now. We got an NFT bro in the chat. Arden NFTs, what's going on? No, but for real, we're going to be talking today about the five biggest high-ticket dropshipping niche selection mistakes today. And so, but before we get into that, I want to talk a little bit about the Niche Selection Masterclass, the Da Vinci Masterwork that we were just talking about. So Mike and I, what we did was, based on all of the comments that we always get, all the emails, people always ask, oh, is this a good niche? Is that a good niche? And honestly, we wanted to create something where people can get access to understanding niche selection for a very, very low price. And we wanted to do something where we can actually fully reveal one of the stores that we sold, because, you know, we sold it a while ago now. And the non-disclosure stuff is up, so we felt comfortable doing that. So in this Niche Selection Masterclass, which you can learn about at buildassetsonline.com/niche, not only are we going to show you how to pick a niche for high-ticket dropshipping, but we are going to show you one of our old stores and basically show you how this store was the birthplace of our niche selection process.
Yeah, sorry, I muted myself because I was typing. But yeah, I mean, this is what a lot of people have been asking for. And, you know, like, our videos that always do best are the ones that are, you know, dropshipping products or something along those lines. And I think this is a big big concept within the industry, is what products do I dropship? And we want to answer that question once and for all. We've done so many videos where it's like we talk about, you know, five different dropshipping products for this, or talk about this niche or whatever. This is like, we're going to actually show you a store that we made ourselves, a store that we sold. You could see all of our suppliers. You can see whatever, you know, niche it was, and really have a look for yourself. And we break it down and we show you, you know, not just, oh, okay, this is what we picked, but like the concepts behind everything. And so We're breaking it all the way down to the concept level so that you never need to ask that question again.
Gotta stay hydrated, boys and girls. You hear that fizziness?
The fizz in the thermos. Anyway.
Continue, I'm sorry.
That was really all I had to say. I think it came in at a good time here. So
cool. So the chat is starting to light up. We got Arden NFTs. Hi guys. Hey, back to you, Dylan Giles. Dylan. Hi everyone. So that's great. Anyway, so we'll talk about this more, but if you want to check it out right now, buildassetsonline.com/niche. It's literally $97, and everything Mike said, revealing a store we sold, teach you how to pick a niche. I think it's a great investment, a great product that we came out with. Now, so without further ado, I guess let's get to the niche selection mistakes that people make, and you guys can keep leaving stuff in the chat and we will answer those questions. So this first mistake that people make, let's pull it up on the screen, is people have no idea what a niche is. So Mike, we'll make these videos and we'll talk about different things. Like, so one video we did was about, I mentioned the product geodesic domes or something. And, you know, people ask us, oh, is this geodesic domes thing really a good niche? And, you know, I'm not going to reveal too much about that, but they're missing the whole thing is they're missing the point. When you ask if a geodesic dome is a good niche, you don't understand what a niche is.
Facts. And this was a mistake that we made when we made our first store, was our concept of a niche was kind of totally off. And so that really screwed us from the get-go, because at that point we had created a whole store, and, you know, just our whole business at that point was founded on an incorrect idea. And so that was something we had to correct going into the other store that we made, which is what we talk about in the masterclass. And so if you don't know exactly what a niche is and how to approach this idea, then you're going to be forever bound to, you know, making incorrect product selections and the whole thing.
Yeah. And so I guess let's move right on to number two, because I don't know what else to do. We want people, like, when we stay on the point, but this could end up being a short stream. But okay, the number two is people go far too narrow from their store, and they don't understand. They kind of put themselves in a box. And I think this is perpetrated because, you know, if you're researching dropshipping, specifically high ticket dropshipping, you'll see many people give away these niche lists. And when you're looking at a niche list, I feel like it's, you know, I like my analogies, Mike, but I can't think of a good analogy right now. But it's kind of like, I don't know. Do you have one?
I don't know what you're trying to go for here. So
it's not good. That's what I'm trying to say. It's not good.
Yeah. I mean, you know, what we wanted to do is to really teach people how to fish. You know, we don't want to give you a list of 99 fish, which is what, you know, these niche selection or whatever, the 99 niche idea books, or, you know, five niches to do in high ticket dropshipping. That's kind of all they are. It's, you know, you give them these 99 products, and then people say, oh, you know, they'll get in their head about it immediately.
That's, you know what it is? Like, I have a good way to describe it. It's not an analogy, but when it comes to a list of high ticket dropshipping niches, what that is that's a lead magnet fluff.
Yeah.
That's just the purpose to get you on the email list and to give you something in return for that. And it's not, I'm not saying it's totally useless. What I'm saying is it guides you down the wrong path.
Yeah, for sure. And again, I think it just gives people still stay in their head when they, you know, they get that booklet, whatever, because they're getting it because they want to be like, okay, you know, I want to do drop shipping probably, and I want to see, you know, what niche should I pick? What product should I sell? And then you see one on there, and then you psych yourself out like, oh, you know, I shouldn't sell that. Oh, you know. When the reality is, yeah, everyone is seeing this list of 99 products. So you're right.
Like, what is it called? Sloppy seconds or something?
Yeah, but I mean, but the whole point is that we've talked about this, Joe, is like there's so many you can't fit a good niche or like a good product onto a niche list necessarily.
Right.
Because there's going to be so many things in the nooks and crannies of a particular industry that you're never going to get to unless, you know, you open up the English muffin of the industry, you know?
Yeah, you really got to get into that English muffin to see what lies beneath the surface.
Exactly.
All right. So number three is people go, oh, I want to say one more thing about number two. This is kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy or a self-fulfilling perpetration of sorts, because you know, not only are these niche lists given away and people talk about these niches, but in the Google search engine, if you type in, I'm just going to go to a keyword tool right now, and I'm going to type in high ticket dropshipping. And I typed in high ticket dropshipping, and I'm looking at all the terms that match with high ticket dropshipping. So the head term, high ticket dropshipping, has 450 searches, okay? And then below that, is you have high ticket dropshipping products and high ticket dropshipping niches. So aside from high ticket dropshipping, niches and products are the most searched things in this whole field, in this whole area. Right. So people, it becomes something again. People hear about it, they search for it, but they're doing it the wrong way. If you're searching for high ticket dropshipping products or niches and you're looking for a list, you're one step behind. So I just wanted to say that it's an interesting phenomenon, is that not only do people give away niche lists, but people on Google search for niche lists and niche products. And as a matter of fact, I don't know if we still rank for this, but a while I think we were ranking number one, Build Assets Online, high ticket drop shipping niches. What do you know?
Boom. See, I mean, it goes to show We're really doing it. We know how to make things rank, and
yeah, just Google high ticket drop shipping niches, and there you have it.
You know, Joe, you are the foremost expert on SEO.
I don't think I'm the four. I haven't honest that article is like 2 years old at this point. I haven't even updated or done anything to it. But
exactly, still number one.
What can you say? All right. So number three, people go too broad on their store. Someone spelled too wrong here. It should be T-O-O.
Someone.
So we're getting rid of that, and we're gonna fix that, and we're gonna put it right back up. So people go too.
Still didn't work.
Oh, son of a gun! So Mike, talk about this while I correct the spelling error.
So, I mean, we talked about number two, which was people go too narrow, but on the other end, people go too broad. And Joe, I think this is something we've been a little bit guilty of perpetrating.
We've been very guilty of this. Very guilty. Well, perpetrating, yes, but we've done it ourselves and had success with broad stores, but those stores haven't been our masterworks.
There's that. But I also think when we did stores that were more broad, we just punch it.
I had to tie up the curtain because my chair keeps rolling over it.
Oh. When we did stores that were more broad, we had a sense of what we were doing already. So when we went into it, you know, we kind of had an idea of how to do things the right way. And I would say when we talk about some of the stores we made that were more broad, especially being like the one that we sold more recently, it wasn't as broad as I've even seen some of our students go or
right.
People come in. Like, and so this is the thing, right? Because we saw so many people being too narrow. We said, hey, you know, you have to expand off that. And the people right. took it in the totally other direction of just creating like a entirely general store where they have, I don't even know, they have chairs and then they have rowboats. And it's like, these things don't fit together. And Joe, I thought I was less opposed to this idea. I'd say until a few years ago when we actually started Build Assets Online, and I saw people doing this and I've just seen that it just simply doesn't work inside of when people go to run ads, because there's just so much down now that you have to like kind of sift through. Because I think it can work, but what happens is people will go and they'll get a bunch of chair suppliers and they'll get a bunch of rowboat suppliers and there's so much room for them to go around, like find different things, that they'll skim from the top and they'll get all the worst suppliers of these particular industries. Yeah. And so now what they're left with is 10 trash suppliers instead of really going hard into maybe a couple of different things and then, you know, finally getting those good suppliers. So that's what happens. And, you know, people just don't know what to hone in on. It's a whole thing.
Right.
But so we've really worked with our students to kind of help them avoid this. And I think
so from this, I feel like we've taken a page out of folklore, which is Goldilocks and the Three Bears. And, you know, in that story, the porridge is either too hot, too cold, or just right. So what we call this is the Goldilocks method to find the perfect balance between too broad and too narrow.
Exactly. And so in the Niche Selection Masterclass, we talk specifically about this Goldilocks method. And again, we show different examples of, you know, what's too narrow, what's too broad, and what's the sweet spot in the middle. So, yeah, that's certainly something we've really had to work to clarify. And, you know, if anyone's watching this, they're already in, you know, our dropshipping course in the Elite Fleet, then you actually already have access to this masterclass for free. So if you feel like you're still struggling with this, you should certainly watch that Niche Selection.
Yeah, we put it under like module 4 or whatever. So you have access, to it. But if you don't, this is a great way to dip your toe in the Build Assets Online pool, if you will.
Yeah, because previously the only way to get access to us and to, you know, our real content was you had to purchase, you know, a full course, full membership, everything. This is, you know, you can take a little nibble of the
of the bow cake.
Yeah. Yeah, just, you know, like go to the ice cream store, they give you the little spoon.
Yeah.
Buy a flavor. This is that.
All right. So number four, they're not using their current niches to find hidden ones. I'm not sure how much we can expand on this, you know, without giving away too much of the details. But inside of the Niche Selection Masterclass, we use this concept that you came up with really inspired by nature, called niche branching. Really inspired by the way a tree, you know, it's got one branch and then the other branch comes out, and then all of a sudden you got one branch turning into to 10 branches. I actually have a lemon tree right now that's doing that. It's pretty interesting to watch.
Yeah, where is it?
It's in the backyard.
All right, bring it up.
Yeah.
No, I mean, yeah, there's not much to say about this, but really, this is just a big mistake people do. I think it kind of goes hand in hand with the broad store idea because, you know, like I said, people, when their store is too broad, they just skim from niche to niche to niche and don't really focus on what's hidden deep within. And this is really, people say the riches are in the niches. And I think this is what we're trying to encapsulate with point number four.
All right. So point number five, and we're getting to the end here. So if you guys have questions, start to leave them in the chat now or we're going to disappear. So number five is not leveraging a niche to get the best suppliers. And this is something that kind of comes naturally when you follow the niche branching strategy, but it's this strategy that has allowed us to get in with suppliers that typically don't even take drop shipping clients. I mean, we've gotten in with some pretty big companies that you wouldn't even think would, you know, entertain the idea of working with two guys in their parents' basement. But, you know,
we've forced them to. You have to force their hand, and it doesn't matter where you are. If you're in a basement, if you're in friggin' Thailand on the beach, it's like, how can you serve these suppliers and give them value? And really, yeah, I wanted to make a point that wasn't specifically about, you know, the niches, because it's all like your store, your suppliers, the niche, it all kind of goes hand in hand.
Yeah.
So you can't talk about, you know, your niche or your products without talking about your suppliers, because two people can be in the same niche. We made this example, Joe, be doing the same things and have wildly different results. But to go into that, you know, they may be in the same niche, but one person is able to get better suppliers than the other. And so the landscape of their store, their ads account, you know, their sales, everything can look totally, totally different.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
So at the end of the day, I mean, you know, it is about the products you choose to sell. I mean, it's an important thing, but what you really need to focus on is the suppliers that are giving you those products, because if they suck, then it doesn't matter what the niche is. It's going to be a pain in the ass for you. So that's an important point.
Yeah. And sorry, I'm just looking back at some of our, at the thing we got, because I'm looking back at the enroll page to make sure it's all set up properly. But I guess let's get to the questions. If you guys have any questions, you can leave them in the chat. I mean, we're at 9 viewers right now, which is not many. So we're happy to take some questions and give you guys some personalized attention here.
Yeah, Joe. So what's going on, man?
Not much. You know, same stuff, different day. I feel like we've been doing so much. I mean, basically, this masterclass has been a couple weeks in the works. You know, between outlining it and filming it, making the slide deck, if you will.
Yeah. Dylan says, how do you feel about niches that require installation help bringing it in? Example, pool table or pinball machine. Good question. I feel like it doesn't matter. If there's a will, there's a way. So people are making the products, people are selling the products. And yeah, in some cases, there are installers who help install those products. And so doesn't matter. We've done both. I mean, there's even some things that are kind of ambiguous, like one of the other stores that we sold was in like the spirits industry, you could say, or sold, you know, like particular furniture. And yeah, I mean, some people would want insulation, some people would want white glove service, and you know, etc. So yeah, there's ways to provide that to people, and generally you can just ask the suppliers, you know, what they do, what they recommend, and get it done that way.
Yeah. So, Mike, would you say with something like this, I mean, it could require a little bit more work, if you will?
It could require, yeah. I mean, it could require more work, but is it worth it, you know? Because I don't think there's like niches that, I don't think like as a whole, a niche itself. Like every single supplier is going to require installation, or, you know, I find it to be on more of a supplier by supplier basis.
Right. So, I mean, if you are going to do something like this and the supplier isn't being much help, is it kind of on you, would you say, to arrange for this kind of thing?
Well, I'm saying in those cases, you may not need to arrange for it. You can just say, hey, this product doesn't come with installation. We're going to ship it to you. And then, you know, you can take it from there. Or, yeah, you can kind of offer that as a service if you want to help yourself stand out from everyone and go the extra mile for customers. And I think it's a good way to like add value to your product page.
Right. Well, I think this guy is asking maybe the supplier requires it. So in that case, you would have to go the extra mile to arrange things. I'm just trying to think of a good strategy to make this work well in the event that the supplier requires it. And, you know, maybe you could start advertising in certain regions only and kind of grow out step by step, or am I getting ahead of myself here?
No, because I don't think if it's something that's like commonly installed, then there's going to be installers all over the country.
Right.
So you just search, you know, whatever the product is, installation, people will pop up. You call them, you say, hey, I got someone, right. we're giving them a product. They need it installed. Bada bing, right. Bada boom.
So I feel like if we, back in the day, we would have, I mean, when we were really on our grind with trying out a lot of different industries, we would have probably just taken the orders and then figured out the next steps and then probably built out a network of installers over time. Yeah, and if we couldn't do it, probably just said, canceled it or something.
Exactly. Yeah. It's one of those things you can't really know until you start doing it. So you kind of just have to start doing it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But,
cool. So Jake says, how do you get around a supplier wanting you to have a service crew to service the units when they break down?
So that's a similar question, but it is kind of separate. So I think a lot of times this can be a barrier for different niches and different products and stuff. But again, like the installation thing, I think it kind of varies on a supplier by supplier basis as far as how involved they want you to be with that. But it is kind of the same answer as the other question, in that if this product, this niche, whatever, commonly needs to be serviced or et cetera, then there's probably, you know, an installer, a servicer, they probably do both, and they're likely located across the country. So you say, hey, we have a, you know, nationwide network of service people we work with, and we just typically, you know, contact them based on where our customers are located.
Cool. Fantastic. This picture always makes me laugh, from Matt Gemko. I don't know what this is. But his little avatar there. Is it worth going into a niche you know has tons of comp, but also has tons of demand? Knowing what you guys know, can you walk into any niche and make a big store with it?
Well, Matt, I just talked with you about a couple hours ago, and I feel like you're doing that. You have you're in a pretty competitive niche, and Joe, I mean, he seems to be doing pretty well with it. He was spending, he was getting like a 40x return on ad spend, Matt was, which is pretty good. I mean, nothing to sneeze at.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest, I don't fully remember what he's doing, but I know you've been working with him a little bit closer. I know you're looking at his ads and stuff, and he's...
But yeah, I mean, you can make it... That's the whole thing, right? Is like, you can do a bigger industry, and it's just a bigger pie. And so we're all just, you know, in our mom's basement here, and we don't need a large chunk of the pie. It's a big pie. Just take a small sliver, and you're good to go. Inversely, yeah. You know, if it's a less competitive pie, it's probably a smaller pie, and maybe, you know, as a one-man band, you can reach in and take a bigger chunk. So it really all varies, but also it has to do with suppliers again, because if you're in a really big industry, but you land a supplier that is maybe more exclusive, then that's really like a home run, because that supplier is going to be really exclusive, but they're probably going to have a lot of demand. So now you can automatically go and take a huge chunk of that supplier's demand and just sell them, because not a lot of people are. So,
big pie, little slice, or small pie, huge slice.
Exactly. I think they could both equate to the same amount of pie.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting. You ever see those pizzas that are like really, really massive?
Yeah.
You could just take like a, like it's either you got a pizza, like a triangle, or a pizza, like a little sliver.
Well, yeah, it's like you go to one of those big pizza stores, you get one slice, or you go get, you know, a little personal pie.
That's true. Yeah. Just picking your brains. Thanks, boys.
Yeah. And I wouldn't say I prefer one over the other because, like for things like SEO, you could argue probably the personal pie approach is better because it would be a less competitive SEO landscape and you could really, you know, dig your heels in, I think, a bit more and really dominate. So,
yeah.
From like a building value perspective, like building the asset, I think it's good to do that. Or again, in the big pie little slice example, you know, it might just be easier to opt, you know, you don't got to do the SEO. You don't have to do that stuff. You could just still make sales and then sell it and then be off. I don't know.
All right. What if a niche mostly has lower costs, products, 250, 500, and only a handful of higher ticket? Well, here's the thing. I feel like if we go back to the things we gave in the class today, the mistakes, I feel like this question kind of reflects number one, is that you don't know what a niche actually is. So, you know, I would say that that really shouldn't happen.
Yeah, that's no offense to you, Ron, but it's just, yeah, I would say the price limitation thing is more of like a product, particular product type issue. But if you think about, you know, if you get to the entirety of the niche itself, there should certainly be products that
are
in particular price points. And so, I mean, to answer your question more directly, I wouldn't want to have a store that only had products like max $500.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So yeah, this is way too low ticket for me because I mean, even if you were profitable at this, it's just too many customers. It's going to, you know, down the line, it's just, say you make it big with the store. How many orders do you want to deal with?
Yeah. And some of like my favorite stores I've seen from our students and even, you know, our friends doing this, like they sell really expensive items and less volume.
Yeah. I remember one of our peers back in the day, he's living in Thailand and just, I guess he was really into training Muay Thai and he made just like a couple of sales a month.
Yeah.
And he would just make $3,000 or $4,000 a month from like, what, like 5 sales or something. And that's all he cared about. He didn't pick up the phone or he just just answered emails from quotes, you know, didn't spend too much on the ads. And, you know, that's what he was happy with. So I feel like that's the kind of stuff I would go for rather than this price range. I do want to mention, I do think this price range has merit. I do think this price range has merit if you are doing FBA.
But that's
kind of a separate topic. I mean, Mike and I were thinking about getting into more FBA in the future. At least, you know, dipping our toe in it a little bit. And this is probably the price range that we would look for. Sorry, I'm laughing at another. Joel D is always.
Who's the bald guy now, Joel D?
I think he's mocking something.
Your bank account is bald.
Lost $11,000 on crypto DeFi protocols. $5,000 down on holding bags of tokens. Lost $14,000 trading options. I don't even know what any of this means.
What does this shit mean? You're holding bags of tokens? What is this, Chuck E. Cheese?
Who's bald now? He says me. I'm losing my hair. Oh, man. Exactly.
Sorry, Joel.
Yeah.
We love our crypto bros inside of the Bao world.
Yeah.
We recently had an influx of crypto bros into the elite fleet, and Joe started losing a little bit of hair because he thought, you know, they got the keys to the castle. And
I thought the Discord got hacked because we had a bunch of people with like crypto names join, and I was like, what's going on here?
Ron, hope we answered your question.
Yeah. But he has a follow-up question. Do you guys ever take foreign suppliers here? And they're always stick to 100% USA based. Well, we have had suppliers in Canada.
Yeah, I think that's a bit of a cop-out to his question, though. I think he's asking, like, you know, shipping from overseas, you know?
Right.
Canada is okay. Because, you know, they can just cross the border. There's not like a real barrier, but I would heavily advise against what you're suggesting here.
Yeah.
We've seen people do this, and part of the big issue, aside from like lead times and stuff like that, is the lack of brand demand, because it's very unlikely that people are going to know about some random brand in Europe that you can now import.
Right. So, I don't know if he's talking about Europe or China or whatever, but
yeah,
no, this is kind of
what he's saying.
Yeah. This is kind of a bit on a tangent, but if you watch our interview with Pat Yates, where we talk about how we sold our store for $650, what are you laughing at?
Oh, I'm laughing at our other crypto friend just texted me. He's laughing at Joel.
Okay, yeah, we sold that. When we interviewed with Pat, we sold the store recently for $650K. You know, he sells a bunch of online assets, and a lot of them are in the FBA space. And he mentioned soon he's going to Mexico City. Whereas people used to go to China, go to the Shenzhen Fair or the Canton Fair, and now stuff is going down in Mexico City. So I honestly wouldn't be surprised if in a few years there's going to be like how we were drop shipping out of Canada with that one supplier. I wouldn't be surprised if there's going to be cross border stuff from Mexico coming.
Yeah, I have no problem crossing the NAFTA border, as it were. But again, it's when you start. I mean, again, it's just the point I'm trying to make is like there could be a lack of brand demand when it comes to a foreign supplier. So I would say probably don't do it if you're new, because even like our UK students, they run into this issue all the time, or like our EU students, in that, you know, they're in Amsterdam, but they have a supplier in Germany and they're trying to sell this German products to the Amsterdam people, but the Amsterdam people don't know who it is. So there's no brand demand. You want to be able to tap into that, especially as a new person, because that's like, it's just the easiest thing to do as a beginner.
Right. I had one more thing to say on. Oh, well, we did a whole video on drop shipping adult toys and adult dolls. And that industry, I think even the expensive stuff is all overseas from what I understand. But basically at the end of the video, we didn't recommend that niche anyway, those products anyway. But I think maybe there are a few exceptions, that being one of them.
Not to keep harping on this, but I think that our friend that we knew that was doing that was able to make that niche work because he was tapping into like influencer type marketing, right? So you're able to create the demand through the influencer, which is not typically what we do, and we don't really recommend it, versus creating and tapping into demand through like Google.
Yeah. Well, the weird thing with that is that I think there was the way that community worked. I don't want to go too far off on this tangent, but at the same time, it's kind of interesting. The way that community worked is I think there was some sort of brand demand, but it was fostered by people like talking about it on like forums and stuff.
Right.
So whatever. It's a whole different ball game. Anyway, Voyage Travel. I have a list of about 40 niches that I came up with. What amount of monthly search volume should I look for when choosing one of them? We go over this exact question in our niche selection masterclass, buildassetsonline.com/niche. I hate to throw in a little advert there, but
Cheeky advert.
Yeah, cheeky advert. Long story short, don't even bother.
This is one of the mistakes people make.
Yeah, this is one of the big mistakes people make. Don't bother with this. And to get the full context for your answer, I think the buildassetsonline.com/niche, the niche selection masterclass, will be great at answering your questions. And it's quite a bargain, I have to say. The fact that we're revealing one of the stores that we sold and going over how we built the niche for $97, I think it's our best offering yet.
For sure. I mean, who else is revealing their stores like this, especially ones that they've actually, you know, can prove were profitable, they cashed out on, et cetera. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. So Anon Silk says, Crypto Bros, MLMAO. I should have just gotten your program and made money, LOL. I don't know.
Joel strikes me as like...
love you guys.
Like Australian or something.
I still can't tell if he's trolling us, but...
That's what I'm saying. He trolls like one of our like new people from New Zealand that we have like in our master class, our community kind of act like this.
Interesting.
Kind of fantastical.
Justin says the crypto bros flopped over after the crash.
Exactly.
Yeah. And Ron says, yes, that helped. I'm glad we helped. Matt says, when is the jiu-jitsu course coming out? We will have community sparring. We will have community sparing. So
probably time soon.
I don't know if we're qualified to come out with a jiu-jitsu course.
Yeah. Well, that would be good. Like, you know, have instructional videos. That is a
great digital products niche. I mean, you can kind of, if you're into it, you can kind of see people probably make crazy money selling jiu-jitsu videos.
I mean, you know how much Gordon Ryan makes off his videos? Like millions.
Really? Just what, like from the courses?
Yeah, like he'll post his like Shopify, like the dashboard on because they sell it all through BJJ Fanatics.
Yeah.
Yeah, he'll do like a million in a month.
Really? That's crazy.
Insane.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
I live in Canada. Do you guys recommend doing a Canadian business or US? I would start with Canadian, definitely. There's no reason not to. We talked about the pie thing before. Big pie, little slice, or small pie, huge slice?
Yeah, I mean, the Canadian pie, I think, is quite untapped. So this is what, I think you could have big pie, big slice. In my opinion. I mean,
I mean, how many people are there? There's only like 30 million people in Canada, right?
Is that true?
Or is that might be Australia. Canada might be a little more. About 38 million.
How many people are there in like New York state?
Probably like 10. Let's see, New York state population.
20.
Oh, 20 million. Wow. It's crazy. I mean, there's more people in Texas than there are in Canada, I think. Or California, at least.
Well, anyway, I mean, it's still a border. It's still a barrier to entry because people in the U.S. aren't going to just start a Canadian store. It's basically, it's really untapped in terms of dropshipping. Like, I don't know why. We have Canadian students and we don't have a whole lot of them. And like, they go off the radar, even though like they're doing well. I don't know. I don't know what it is in Canada.
Right.
That people don't want to dropship. But we've even done it personally, like we said before. And it works. I don't know. It works. Yeah. People buy from our stores in Canada all the time. We got to tell them, we can't ship to them. They're screaming. They're screaming for someone to do it. So I don't know. Yeah. Right. Where was it? Yeah. Like Europe. And it's like I said, the lack of brand demand coupled with the lead time and the whole thing, I think it just makes it not worth it because there's just so many other domestic US brands you can get instead.
Cool. On a good note, I've gotten a Joel D. I've got a job as a Discord community manager, and I build Discrods for clients now. Elbow cough, $25 an hour. That's cool.
It's a hefty rate, Joel.
I don't really understand. If I join a Discord server that is like an NFT Discord server or something. I literally feel like I have no idea what's going on there. It's just a bunch of scrolling images and like people not saying much. Like
we have the best community. It's people saying bullshit.
Yeah.
What do you talk about? It's just nothing. Listen, Joel, if you want to come in and make a bow coin and, hold a bag of those, then feel free to hop in.
All right. Voyage Travel is going to be checking out the Niche Selection Masterclass. Again, at buildassetsonline.com/niche. I keep saying it because if you're listening to this, we have this fun little thing on our YouTube stream where I could just pull up comments and pull up the
link. You also have to keep saying it because people just keep coming in. I don't know why we even bother doing like a content in the beginning. No one shows up to the actual content, and then people just show up when we start answering questions.
Yeah. Alvaro Munoz. Do you guys offer coaching calls? What is the hourly rate? If so, we only offer coaching calls for people that have our full course bundle. So in other words, if you go to buildassetsonline.com and then click the top, says Elite Fleet Plus, you have to have basically our whole bundle that comes with at least 3 coaching calls. Now, if you get the mentorship, that comes with 24. So, and then if people want more calls beyond that, it's $300. But that being said, you have to be in the course to have the coaching clause. And the reason for that is because if people aren't following what we teach to begin with, like the coaching call is not going to be that valuable because usually there's so many things they have to fix. They have to go through our course. We used to do coaching calls and then it's just not, it's not a good use of anyone's time if they're not in the course.
What do you tell them? They got to fix their website. You know, it's like so many things you can't even, you can't cover in an hour. If someone's story is just totally trash.
Yeah.
Say, hey, all right, now buy my course. Like, so.
Yeah. It's easier to do when you just, people just go through our course and then schedule the calls once they've hit a wall or hit a certain point where, you know, they have questions.
Right. It's also about, you know, we found the best way to ensure our students have success is to control as many variables as possible. Right.
So that's true.
Come into the course, standardized process. So that way when we finally go to troubleshoot, we know, okay, you've done this, how we recommend it. We know that it works. You've done this, how we recommend it. We know that works. And that's how you can kind of pinpoint where the issues can come from. And again, it allows us to give better results to our students and, you know, everyone is happy.
Right. Exactly. So it's like, if you don't, it's like a plug and play type thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Because even what I think may be wrong, if we look at something and you're not in the course, I could be wrong because, again, there's so many variables. I could say, oh, maybe it's this, but it could be, you know, something else I've never seen anyone do before, and that's causing the issue. So,
right. Exactly. Okay. Any advice on automating orders and invoices? Zapier. So you're the Zapier king, Mike. I'm just kidding. I feel like whenever we try and do something with Zapier, I know you do some stuff with it, but whenever we try and do something new with it, it like never works.
Yeah. We use it mainly for like, you know, like sales purposes and seeing when orders are canceled or stuff like that. Just like in general alerts. So you're asking about automating orders and invoices, like sending in orders to a supplier through Zapier. Which I think I would say, no, don't do it because there's going to be a lot of times where you have to like edit things on the order, you know, because maybe the way you have, maybe your store is set up, it's incorrect or like, you know, customers will want to split orders into two payments. And so you'll do it in two payments and then Zapier is going to be sending in two orders to the supplier when you only have to send one. So
right.
Little idiosyncrasy, you just can't automate like that and just have, it's like literally the most basic tasks to have any VA do is to send in orders, but you need that human to human communication. Like, hey, don't send this in because this is just an additional payment for this, that type of thing.
All right. So what do you guys think? What do you think of a guy from commercial $17 store? I don't know what that is. Let me look. Commercial $17 store.
Is it a thing?
You might want to clarify that, Ricky, because I don't know what that is.
$17 Shopify store. I think that's what he's talking about.
What do you mean? What's $17 Shopify store?
Mikey Cash.
Want me well, to I like you- that name already.
Oh, not Cash, Cass.
Okay.
Want me to give you my finished Shopify brand for only $17 on a 24-hour guaranteed delivery. My team and I are taking a big risk here. We've decided to give away 8 Shopify stores that are ready to go with a free bonus call with one of our e-commerce experts to get it up and running. What is this?
I mean, look.
This is garbage.
We don't spend our time. Go ahead. I can't. I don't know what you're talking about, but it sounds.
Basically, what it is like, all right, they're, for $17, they're going to give you, you know, whatever theme. They're going to upload 8 to 12 of their, you know, it's probably low ticket shit, other right. products. And then it comes with a free e-commerce call. And then the call is just going to be a sales call to get you to upgrade to some bigger thing. So you just pay $7 for the niche list or something. Like, you know, this is, it's just an upsell.
Right. So yeah, I wouldn't bother with anything that's not focused on you building a store that you could sell. That's focused on search engine demand, whether it's Google Ads, Google SEO, you need to focus on building an asset you could sell that uses those two things primarily. That is our recommendation. If you're going for something where there's so, you know, anything like that is just not, most likely not going to work.
I gotta say, this is a good idea what he's doing though. I mean, it's so useless what he's offering. He's basically, Joe, just taking whatever theme, uploading 8 to 32 products to it, and he's like, copy the store that made us, you know, seven figures in revenue for $17.
Right.
Free coaching call.
Well, even if it did make him that much money, I mean, talk about sloppy seconds.
Well, exactly. Yeah. It's like, what are you going to do? Just hit the Facebook ads, hit the go button. Like, what's going to happen?
Yeah. There's no situation where it works. What's that?
It's a good funnel idea.
Yeah. There's no situation where something is literally that easy. There's no situation where something is that plug and play. What we try and do here is we try and teach you how we do things so that you can go and do it, because that's really the only way that you're going to be successful at anything related to online business.
Yeah. There's literally no way you're going to make money from that plug and play. And again, they're just going to try to make money off you from the e-commerce call that you get as a bonus. So,
right. So I don't want to say literally no way. I don't want to disparage. There's a very, very slim chance in our opinion.
One in 100,000 chance.
Like to be careful with the way we phrase things. All right. When after starting your first store, did you think about starting another store? I'm not really at the point of thinking of a new store, but I'm definitely excited to see data from another niche. Well, for us, it's a bit different because this was a few years ago. This was based when we got into this. This was a while back, and we really were learning this ourselves. So we've given our students, and since you're one of our students, we've given you all the information that we have. So I think it's a little bit different than.
Yeah, we created a new store because after months of searching for information and trying whatever we couldn't figure out how to break our first store into that next level of revenue. You know, stuck at like 10,000, 15,000 a month. And so we really had no choice but to make another store. And then we thought, oh, you know, that's the way, just make a bunch of different stores. But now we really understand like how to create revenue within one particular store and like all the factors that go into that. So I don't think it's necessary for a lot of our students, to be honest. Like usually I'll tell them like, hey, just probably try making another store, because the niche you're in is like a little bit too competitive or, you know, whatever. But yeah, I don't know. Hope that helps.
All right. Joel says community equals cult. Cult equals $3 signs.
Expensive.
Maybe. I don't know.
Are we running a cult?
I don't think so.
I wish.
Some clocks in the clock niche are mostly German brands located only in Germany with no retail stores in the U.S. The barrier to entry is high. They're not signing anyone anymore. What do you think?
Yeah, actually, this is what I was thinking about when I was talking in regards to Ron's question. This is a common thing. Like, a lot of these brands are overseas and there's not really demand for them. But I don't believe this.
Well, he's saying that he thinks there's demand, but they're not signing on U.S. dealers.
He said some clocks in the clock niche are mostly German brands with no retail.
Right.
I'm just saying I don't think they have a lot of brand demand.
Right.
To be frank. I'm not saying a foreign supplier can't have brand demand. I'm just saying it's less common. And like, you know, you could see maybe a clock is listed on Wayfair or something, and you know, but it's again, it could just be foreign. They don't actually have demand. But I don't, number one, I don't believe that there aren't US-based clock suppliers. And even if there aren't, you shouldn't have a store that's tulipanclocks.com.
Go to buildassetsonline.com/niche. This is where we can learn all about this. I mean, even if you shouldn't be in the situation where your whole store is dependent on whether you get this particular line of German clocks.
That's the point I'm trying to make. So yeah, it comes down to how you structure your store, how you pick a niche. And that's the whole idea, because the way that we make stores, like if I saw this was happening, you know, I had to contact all these stupid German companies and I would just move on.
Yeah.
You don't want to be forced into a bad situation, a toxic supplier relationship.
Absolutely not.
A long distance supplier relationship.
Would you say?
A long distance supplier relationship.
Yeah, no, that's no good. You got to be, you know, texting them dirty pics just to keep them hooked. So Alvaro says, how much is the course? Oh, if you go to buildassetsonline.com, click Elite Fleet Plus at the top, you could see, and then you could see go scroll down, see the prices there. The base package is $2,500, but I'll give you a little clue. If you start with the you know, because we just came out with this, if you start with the niche selection masterclass, you might get a promotion. So go to buildassetsonline.com/niche and start there.
Sure.
All right. Stephen Hill says, okay, great. Thank you. Justin says, we all shaved our head because Joe did, about hashtag bow cult. You know, I'm watching, it's such a stupid show, but that show on Netflix called The Circle. I don't know if you've seen this.
I've seen it at my friend's house playing. I don't fully understand it. It's like they're all in a room and they got to be friends or something. It's like some people are not real. I don't know.
Yeah, it's like a social media experiment. But anyway, they always like type to each other and they throw in these like random hashtags. Like,
yeah.
So but anyway, I didn't shave my head by choice. It's a necessity at this point.
See, you don't understand the hashtags?
I understand them, but like when you text someone, do you ever do like a hashtag? Like if you're texting your friend, like
it's all like, it's like in irony you do it.
I see. Cause on like Twitter and stuff, you can click the hashtags, right? And then it shows.
Yeah. There's no utility in texting a hashtag. It's just
right.
Like, it's like to be funny, like there's like sarcastic,
but on Twitter, there is a hashtag.
On Twitter, there is hashtags on every social media.
And they have utility, right? On Twitter.
Yes. Or any social, TikTok? If you click a hashtag on TikTok, you can see all the things with the hashtag.
Maybe I'm a boomer, but I installed Twitter on my phone because I wanted to follow a particular guy and keep up with his tweets because I like his tweets. I like seeing what he says. And I had to uninstall it because I couldn't navigate through it. I was like, it's too much. Like, I just wanted to see this one guy's tweets and I'm just seeing too many things.
Yeah. You know, you're very computer savvy, I'd say, but there's the generational gap, I think, is your issue.
Yeah. I just, I don't
know. I'm sure you could figure it out though.
I'm sure I could, but it was a lot. It was a lot to, it was like going through a jungle. Like I needed a machete or something.
Yeah.
All right. NFTs need cult-like communities to keep the Ponzi going. Yeah, that's what the Discords are like. I joined the ape one of the ape Discords one time, and it was just like ape pictures. Like, yeah, we're a great community, boys. Apes together strong.
There was actually a Joel, maybe you can tell me if I'm wrong here. There was some sort of indictment that happened on a bunch of people. It was like for OpenSea, which is like the NFT platform, citing insider trading. So there was some sort of Ponzi scheme happening within OpenSea.
Yeah.
I don't know why everything has to just trail off into NFTs. I don't want to talk about NFTs. What's the point? Everyone's losing money. Everyone's, oh, this is going to be so great. Everyone I know, tens of thousands of dollars wasted on these ape pictures.
Even one of our good friends who is extremely computer savvy, I'm not going to say any names, but I believe he actually got a wallet of Ethereum hacked.
Our friend that starts with an S?
Yeah.
Yeah. How much did he lose?
I don't know. It was. I don't think it's a small amount.
Yeah. You know, yeah, very computer savvy, very smart guy. We tried to do some sort of online business venture with him. You know, kind of tailed off. He started doing NFTs and back to square one.
Yeah. I don't know if it's back to square one, but still.
Whatever square it's back to, Joe, we've talked about this in other videos. We have the online asset criteria, and I think that's one of the best things we ever made.
Well, you made it, but yeah.
Well, you know, it's part of our brand, so it's yours too now.
But I like Bitcoin though.
I like Bitcoin, but I'm not quitting dropshipping to mine Bitcoin.
No, but
you can't be doing this stuff to make money. It just has to be able to sit there for 20 years.
Absolutely. But yeah, no, I think Bitcoin's going to the moon.
Well, yeah, obviously.
Did I miss the store reveal? Prometheus says, well, we reveal the store not on this live stream, but if you go to buildassetsonline.com/niche, that is our niche selection masterclass where we reveal the store. You have to purchase it, but it's only $97. So it's a fantastic value.
Yeah,
we teach our niche selection strategies in the context of this store reveal that we sold.
We can't just be telling it to everyone for free. How much more do you want from us?
Yeah, we've...
Everyone's free, free, free. Take, take, take. I mean, you give a little bit, and maybe it'll be worth it for you.
I think it will be.
Most of it.
High percentage chance. Joel says, a guy who worked at OpenSea got charged for money laundering. However, he did not get charged for insider trading because that's not illegal.
Okay, I was wrong.
Yeah, listen. I don't know much about this crypto stuff. All I know is buildassetsonline.com/niche. If you want to know our store and see how we built it in the context of, you know, niche selection, go there. buildassetsonline.com/playbook. We actually changed this. So this is actually a 7-part course now. If you go to buildassetsonline.com/playbook, it is not long. It's no longer like a webinar type format. This is totally different. You get instant access. You can check it out. We go through the online asset pyramid. Another great creation from us. Another masterwork.
Another one. Yeah, that's free. So if you want some more free stuff, buildassetsonline.com/playbook. Whole little mini course for you. Dissecting our approach to making money, building the portfolio, $1 million in assets. This is how we do it. This is the bedrock. Buildassetsonline.com/niche. Is our actual niche selection masterclass. Taste a little bit of what we got going on in the Bao Pie, and see if you like it. See one of our stores we sold for ourselves, and that's it, Joe. So they could take it or leave it, but as always,
one more comment from Joel, then we could take it easy. If I had gotten the Buildassets online course a year ago, I would most likely be net 100% positive on my ROI.
100%.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it'd be a lot more than that, Joel.
Two bald guys been killing the e-com game for a while. Fire emoji. They do it. Hashtag they do it different.
Joel, I think, should be our first testimonial of someone who hasn't even bought anything from us. Yeah, put that on the sales page.
All right, let me take a screenshot of this. All right, let me write Joel testimonial. All right.
We're going to use that.
All right. Thanks, Joel. All right. Now we could say the final three words.
Put the banner back up. Buildassetsonline.com/niche. See the store we sold for $133,000. See how we pick niches and create stores that work. So that's it. Take it or leave it, guys. But as always, take it easy.
Thanks for listening to the Build Assets Online podcast. If you've enjoyed the show, don't forget, subscribe, share, and leave us a rating on whatever platform you might be listening from. And if you're ready to learn how to build your own online business portfolio, start now by visiting buildassetsonline.com/playbook. We'll see you in the next episode.